Welcome back to Misunderstood. This is going to be a bit different because we're stepping away from politics. We're stepping away from students. We're still trying to find what the idea is, what the niche is. But I think it's good to speak to the youth, good to speak to people who have a vision, who have a goal, who have a dream, who essentially want to break industry, step into industry, and are currently on that journey. Today, I'm here with Kaya. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Nah, I'm easy. I mean, it's almost December by the time we record this. We're a day out. And the festive is coming. It's live. It's active. But I wanted to speak to you today just about your journey, where you are at the moment, what your childhood has been, and how it's gotten you to invest in music. I know you have music in your family, which we'll discuss as well. And I want to start at your school journey. What made you get into playing music, and why did you continue playing music your entire high school journey?
It's actually such a funny story, because in grade one, I like saw people having like piano lessons with this one teacher. Her name was Charlotte, right? And she seemed like a really nice person. And I was like, I used to do piano lessons like when I was like six or so, and then I stopped for like a bit, right? So then I was like, okay, cool, I can maybe pick up piano again. This person looks like a nice teacher as well, so sharp. Grade two, I started piano, right? And I think just ever since then, I was just doing piano. And I started like developing more of like an enjoyment for it, because people were saying, oh no, you got a natural talent for piano, whatever. I just liked hearing the songs I was playing as well. So yeah, just carried on playing piano all the way up until now, basically. And then, I started studying music in like grade 10, I think it was. Yeah. Started studying music in grade 10, and it's like music theory and stuff. Actually stopped that at the end of 2021 though, because I was studying music at UCT, which is a crazy, like, actually that I don't know if I should get into that story now or
go. It's you. This is your platform. Chat where you want.
So yeah, now then I'm doing music in UCT for a year. I was doing classical piano, music theory, piano. I did some music tech as well. And I also started picking up some producing that year. I think it was the year before. 2020 was like where I started learning how to produce properly. And then I think that's when I realized, like, I want to continue music as a career, but I don't want to study music anymore. Because that year, 2021, was the year where I started feeling like really disencouraged from studying music. I mean, from making music because of the studying. It was like very academic and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, like from there, stopped doing music. Took like a whole gap year, 2022. Like I basically did nothing but like try and make music. I was getting to know a lot of Joburg people. Like if I mention the names, like, you know, Kayabo, Wolf, Fele, like just these underground artists. Some of them are really coming up though. And then, decided, you know what, let's make some music. This was like last year, September. Started producing some songs. I was still like very shy with the mic and everything, so I wasn't writing much at all, like genuinely. So I was just like producing beats. Came to like the end of last year, right? And then I was like, you know what, let me start recording some stuff. So I started writing because I was like really, really encouraged to do that. Started writing. This year kind of like just found my footing, you know, like started seeing what I wanted to write about, and the story goes.
I mean, that's a quick life journey. I want to touch on firstly just the school journey a bit, because I mean, obviously being at St. John's and being in a music department, which I think is pretty good, was pretty well looked after.
Yeah.
Is you have a pressure to perform at every level to some extent.
That is so true.
And for you, do you feel like that was internalized, or you feel like that was external and that's what kept you going? Because I know there's a lot of people who sit in music departments and that's the reason why they end up stopping music, because of how they want to excel for excellence, and there's always that pressure and there's always a want and need for everyone to be the best that they can be, even when they may not necessarily have the capacity or they don't want to express themselves in that way.
I think for me, it's actually a very interesting question, because that's something I've reflected on very recently, that there was a lot of external pressure, but that external pressure wasn't something that made me feel like stopping, because at the end of the day, like, I just enjoyed music in general. I always had this like affinity for music. So going through high school, I felt a lot of that pressure, you know, coming to the concerts and having to perform and stuff. Like, I felt like I had to make sure there were no mistakes. Yeah. Like, I was like one of the most nervous people. I don't know like how nervous other people would be, sure, but like, I felt like the most nervous person there. Like, I'd come there and be like, if I play one single wrong note, it's over for me, bro, type thing, you know? And yeah, coming, I think like it kind of, I've kind of brought that into my current career now, because as much as there's not as much pressure coming in externally, I still feel like my stuff needs to be good enough. Like, I still feel like I need to enjoy it, you know? Like, when I listen to it, I need to be like, wow, this is amazing. Wow, this sounds amazing. This sounds good. This sounds like I've put a lot of time into it. So I think, in a sense, like, some of it is a little bit toxic, because it's like, you know, there's a lot of pressure in being perfect.
Yeah.
But I think what I took out of that was the less toxic side of it, which was, you know what, it's good to always try and refine your craft all the time and try and like get better, or at least, you know, make it sound acceptable to you, you know, before anyone else says like, oh, this is sounding really good, or this is not sounding that good.
Yeah.
If it sounds good to you, if you enjoy it, then, you know, that's the key.
I want to unpack that, because my question then becomes, who are you creating the music for, essentially?
I mean, lately it's been for myself. This actually kind of gives a little bit away of my project, but it's lately for myself, in a sense of, I've been reflecting on my life, especially the past 2 years, and just reflecting on my growth. And like, I'm kind of just expressing that growth. Mm. And it's just more of like a way of putting things out, like putting my thoughts and feelings out, because I don't want to just keep everything, you know, inside. So, and there is some of that aspect of like, you know, let me entertain the crowd as well. Let me give them something fun. Let me give them something nice to listen to. But at the end of the day, everything that I've made so far and everything that I do in terms of music in general is actually more of like a self-fulfillment, you know? Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting to hear, especially because, I mean, there's people who make music for other people.
Yeah.
Who make it for the vibe. I know recently there's been people who make music for TikTok, the trend, the 15 seconds people. And there's different reasons why people express themselves in that way. And part of that expression also comes from how you were raised, the supporting elements that were around you. And how do you feel your parents have taken this journey up until now? And how do you feel they have been throughout this journey, as you pursuing music, as you potentially doing it as a career, and as you essentially stepping into the industry and trying to break industry at the moment?
I've been so lucky to have both my parents actually support me all the way, because they've seen how much I love the craft. They've seen how much I love music, and they've seen how much work I put into it. And so they've always supported me throughout my whole high school career, even up to now. I'll say that one thing that might be lacking in terms of the support thing is, there's like a little bit of that, like, you need something to fall back on.
Yeah.
So like, the things that I'm studying now are like not even closely related to music, but I'm kind of somehow trying to integrate those things into my career type of thing. But like, yeah, they're like, you need like a little bit of something to fall back on. You need to, you know, like those types of things. But I guess like, in a way, it's also, for me, the way I take that is like, I kind of just flip it into, okay, no, it's not something to fall back on, just something to help me invest in it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's interesting. And I guess for you, do you feel like if you had the ability to, you would invest in this for like a full year if you could? Or do you feel that them essentially ensuring that you have an alternative or you have an additional outlet is helping you in terms of growing this industry, but also growing yourself and understanding what you want to do long term?
I feel like right now I'm actually in a bit of a gray space there. Like, I feel like sometimes I'd be like, no, I'm going to use this to kind of just invest in it, like just go all the way. Even if I had to, like, say for instance there was a full year where I just had to focus on music and leave the studies behind or whatever, like, I would consider that. But then in other ways I'm like, like even during like this year, I saw how like the studies that I was like my studies, like I'm doing BCom PPE, right? Politics, philosophy, and economics. And I saw how, especially with the politics and philosophy, there's something about those two modules that kind of like helps me understand not only myself, but understand the world and understand people's thinking, especially like politics in the political sphere, like just how things are going on economically, politically, philosophy, just that's been like the more understanding myself and understanding people's thinking type of thing. And that's been so key for me because it's like, in that way, I've been able to say, okay, maybe there is something good about maybe taking what I'm studying, taking the music, and going forward with both of those things. Like even if it's not like I'm taking something, like I'm not taking like some sort of serious career path in terms of politics, philosophy, and economics, but I'm taking those things just to know more.
Yeah.
Even if it's like, okay, then I have stuff to write about, or I have stuff to address, you know, that type of thing.
And then how do you bring that essentially idea into your music? And does your music then carry a message, or do you intend it to carry a message when you produce?
I think in future I intended to carry a message, because it's almost like I see myself as like some sort of baby Kendrick type thing. I don't know. But like I kind of like, the way I'm starting off is like very reflective on my closest surroundings.
Yeah.
And then as I progress, I feel like as I progress, I'm going to grow towards being able to write about everything, write about like the world, write about my experiences in the world type of thing, and write about how, you know, philosophy and politics, like thinking about how politically things are affecting people, things are affecting me, things are, you know, that type of thing. And I think it's just a matter of time for me that I'll be able to start like actually going out and like really spreading a message like to everyone type of thing. I think for now it's less about the message and more about, here's who I am.
Yeah.
Here's, you know, my feelings, my experiences and stuff like that. Trying to like getting to know me, you know. I feel like that's also important, like being able to introduce yourself to people before you even start having full conversations, you know.
Yeah.
Type thing. So yeah.
And in stepping into the industry, in making music, and this year having released 3 singles on Spotify, how have you felt?
And Apple Music and
yeah, and you can yeah, all the streaming platforms, all yeah, the yeah. streaming platforms. Is how have you felt, or what has been the biggest struggle for you, and the biggest struggle in producing this music, seeing it go out public and getting people listening to it, the feedback, so on and so forth?
I think for me, the biggest struggle has been, it's almost like, you know, when you have those high expectations for yourself from jump.
Yeah.
I've been struggling to like, and I've kind of started getting better at this, but like struggling to like come to terms with like, you know, I've just started, but like the numbers are low. Like the numbers show that you've just started, you know what I mean? And I think I've been thinking a lot about the numbers instead of thinking about, you know what, let me just carry on going. Let me just keep on being consistent. Let me just keep on making more and I'll get there eventually type of thing. I think like I just kind of, it's like I'm thinking about the lifestyle that I'm going to have as an artist in the long term, but I'm thinking about that lifestyle right now. Like I want that now type of thing, which is good. It is good to be that ambitious. Like I want that lifestyle now, but you know, it also takes patience. And I think that's one thing I've been struggling with the most, is that patience. Yeah.
And how does it affect the artistry side of you creating? Because obviously the numbers, the stats, they can demotivate people really quickly.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot from you, but I also think it takes a lot from people when looking at someone trying to make music and they're like not getting out big quickly.
Yeah.
So how do you continue to motivate yourself and to find that will to carry on going?
I watch a lot of podcasts, bro. Like, like my chat is like, it's not even like self-motivation. There is a lot of self-motivation. Like, you know what? This is art. This is supposed to be something that you're just supposed to be putting it out, like just letting people experience things, you know? But a lot of my motivation comes from podcasts. It comes from like, if I'm watching the Safe Place by Lil Yachty, like the one that he had with J. Cole. I think it was something that Cole said. I forget what Cole said, but he said something that made me want to just go and start making music immediately. Like, I was watching that thing and I was like, I need to go. I need like finish this episode real quick and then just start finishing up a song or making a new song or whatever. And it's like that type of stuff. It's like just consuming that like really motivational media, you know, seeing like Pharrell Williams talking about his whole like Louis Vuitton, his whole Louis Vuitton creative director partnership, like whatever. My words are gone, but like but like seeing that and like him talking on the Louis Vuitton podcast and like just talking about how he came up and talking about how much like he puts in. Tyler the Creator, like constantly, Tyler the Creator is like one of my biggest motivational speakers for me personally. And it's like those things are what motivate me more than anything else. And I think the self-talk just, like the self-talk comes from that. Those things help the self-talk rather, you know,
And at the moment in being in the very early stages, do you feel like your goal is quality? And or do you feel like your goal is perfection? Because I think there's people who don't necessarily strike the balance. There's people who want to make perfect music very early on, which limits their ability to create. And then there's people who produce really quality work, which isn't necessarily perfect, but people then get to catch on to it, get to buy onto it, get to actually build an audience around it.
Yeah, I actually caught on to what you said, striking that balance. So that's my thing as well. It's like, I'm never going to be perfect. Even when I'm huge, even when I've got like, you know, I don't know, like millions of streamers, millions of listeners on Spotify and stuff like that. I'm never going to be perfect. I don't think anyone can ever be perfect, but I think it is about that quality. It is about growth as well, you know? And so like even now, like when I make something, there will be some things where like I'll make a song just because like I kind of, there is like some times where like I'll be like, you know what, let me just have something that people can also just vibe to, like this is just gonna be a fun song to listen to. But like that's more on the thing of, that comes back to like the whole thing of like I kind of do want the numbers a little bit, so let me but like even there I'll still think about, okay, let me see if I can make it sound unique or sound original. Let me try and find some sounds that I can use and like try and like mix those sounds into like what I would usually do, or like not even just what I'd usually do, but like what I'm known for type of thing. Even though it is kind of early, so I'm not really known for much at all really, but like, you know, trying to just get that quality much higher, especially at the early stages, because then people see that and they're like, this guy put a lot of work into his craft, and that's the most important thing for me.
I hear that. And at the moment, do you feel like you have to separate the identity, the artist identity, from who you are as a person, or do you feel like you've intertwined those and they stand as one?
I have also been conflicted with that. Like, I've been thinking a lot about whether I should separate those two, but I think ultimately I don't want to separate the two, because I kind of do want to be my truest self at all times. So I mean, even just the things that I post on social media, I used to like decide, like I actually recently decided, let me post a lot less. Let me be like these artists where it's like, I'm gonna just post my music and then maybe post like something that promotes another artist I'm working with or whatever. But now it's like, nah, let me actually just go back to posting things that I find dope. You know, like, okay, I'm seeing like, I just follow a bunch of art stuff on Instagram. So like, if I'm seeing like this really cool stuff, I'm just going to repost it. Like, it's dope. I want people to see it, you know? So even just the way I speak to people, the people that follow me on my page as well, like, you know, it's still kind of like, I still have my normal interactions with my friends. Like, it's like, I want to just keep the thing normal. I don't want to start distancing myself from people because, oh, I'm an artist. Yeah. That wants to go big type of thing. So I want to stay the same, man. I want to stay the same person.
I hear that. And I mean, it's interesting that you say you want to stay the same person, because I think that also comes with a lot in terms of when people critique their music, you question if they're critiquing you or the music specifically. But I want to move to something different. I want to speak about your family, even though this is about you.
Yeah,
and I want to speak about your aunt, who Thandi Nduli, who's in jazz.
Yeah.
And what that influence has been for you. What that has meant for you in terms of looking at someone who's in the industry, who people know of, and is currently making their headway and currently playing music and is known by quite a few.
It has been mad. I can't lie. I think initially I wasn't even taking advantage of, you know, the fact that, you know, my aunt is in the industry. Like, I think a part of me was always like, nah, I don't want to be known because my aunt is known. But like, I think, you know, it's good to take advantage of the resources that you have. And seeing how she's been doing so well lately, she's been touring. A lot of people know her. She's like, she's been nominated for like best jazz albums, things like that. It's amazing to see that, like, this is what runs in the family. And I think for me, she's been my biggest, one of my biggest influences. She was also like one of the reasons why I stopped playing, why I didn't stop playing piano as well. And I mean, there was a period where making my music, I did stop playing piano for a bit, but actually I realized now that like, I can't leave the piano. Yeah. Like, even if it's just like, even if it's a trap beat, just a generic trap beat, there's going to be piano in there somewhere, you know what I mean? But like, yeah, she's been one of my biggest influences. She was the reason why I decided to study music in UCT. Even though I stopped that, I still come to her for like industry, so like industry advice, like, okay, what is it, like, what advice can you give me on copywriting? What advice can you give me on getting people on features, things like that? And I feel like she's just been a really, really, really important aspect in my musical career as well. You know, she's always been there to help me. Yeah.
And with that, obviously, I guess, do you ever feel like there's a pressure to fulfill a separate pathway for yourself? Or do you feel like you're okay with not necessarily being seen as her nephew, but essentially being seen as someone who's made it into the industry or has used that connection as a way, as a leg up?
I feel like in a way I've already kind of established a separate pathway. Like, I think that they are like the people that know that I'm her nephew, when they hear my stuff, they also don't say, oh, this is Tandi's nephew.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, this is Kaya, Tandi's nephew. You know what I mean? Like, Tandi's nephew is just like, oh yeah, I know that you're a nephew type of thing. And I think that is kind of the way I want to go. I want to keep it on that level of, I am my person, she is her person. But it's just good to know that we're related, and it's good to know. I mean, I also do kind of want to work with her at some point, but it's good to know that, you know, we're related. And especially for me, like, I'm able to acknowledge that this is a family thing as well. Yeah. This is not just me type of thing, you know?
I hear that. And I think it's interesting that you take that path, because I think there's a lot of people who would instantly gravitate to the want and the need to essentially just hop on what's already established and then essentially try and get up and get out. Yeah. And that, I guess, for some people is a good thing, is a bad thing. It depends on how you look at it. Depends on how you work at it. I want to talk a bit about the industry in South Africa.
Yeah.
I want to talk about performing in South Africa, and I want to talk about the lack of opportunity or opportunity that there currently is.
Real chat.
And at the moment, and I think more recently due to COVID, a lot of the smaller places that people used to start off at have closed down, aren't there anymore.
Yeah.
What's your way of getting gigs, getting your name out there and playing in front of audiences?
I think it's really just getting myself seen more than just heard. So like being able to, and this like just comes to networking with people, like being able to know certain people, being able to just even like look for opportunities. Yeah. Like genuinely, it's almost like job hunting at this point. It's like, I'm just looking and searching for, okay, what events hold certain type of artists? What venues invite certain type of artists? I think like the main thing for me is just that. It's just trying to get to know more people and trying to get to basically apply to more jobs in that context, you know what I mean? I think that the main thing though, it is really hard because of, like you said, because of that whole COVID era that like a lot of these small places shut down.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of these underground or coming up artists were flourishing. That was their entry point. You know, now it's a lot harder. But at the same time, I think that the streaming side of things also increased because of COVID.
Yeah.
So I think in that same way that like, okay, your gigs are harder to break through, but like the streaming is now up. So in a sense, that's kind of the new entry point. It's like, okay, try and be loud on social media, try and be loud outside. Like if you're just out and you're like meeting people, let them know what you do, you know? And this is advice that I took from my friend Fente, actually, who dropped an album in September, if I'm not wrong, called Therapy Is Not Cancelled. Very good album, by the way. Therapy is cancelled, not Therapy Is Not Cancelled. But yeah, and she told me about this. Like she just said, get out there, show yourself, be loud. Just let people know that you make music, man. Let people know what type of music you make and that your music is good enough to be listened to be performed. Just show your energy and show your personality as well. Don't be a fake, you know, at the same time. So that's been the biggest thing for me as well.
And with that, and obviously, I guess a lot of people stepping into art more recently, or at least as a feeling, do you feel like the market has become saturated? And how do you differentiate yourself and make yourself unique and find Kaya's sound in this market?
I feel like, personally, I don't feel like the market's being oversaturated at all, because we're all different people at the end of the day. So, and as an artist, your main thing is expression. And no one expresses exactly the same thing.
Yeah.
So it's all about that, really. It's all about, okay, what do you do personally that no one else does? Or not even just that no one else does, but what do you do? What do you gravitate towards? What do you enjoy? How can you perfect it? Well, not perfect it, but how can you refine it, you know? So yeah, for me, really, like, this, like, surge in artists, it's kind of been, like, a dope thing for me as well, because it's also really cool to see all these other artists and what they do as well. It's actually quite inspiring, personally. And I'm trying to remember the second part of the question.
The second part of the question was just, how do you make your sound, or how do you find your sound that's unique and identifiable?
Yeah, so I basically kind of answer that. So it's basically just that thing of, just express who you are. Don't really worry about whether it sounds like someone else. At the end of the day, if you focus on what you like to do, what you gravitate towards, and just being true to yourself, it naturally will start to take shape and it will start sounding different.
Yeah. And I mean, I mentioned it earlier, but there's a lot of people who are trying to hop onto trends, trying to make trends. And I mean, Tyler's kind of the new person in the industry at the moment who's kind of done the trend.
Yeah.
And what are your thoughts on that? What is your feeling to that? Would you ever be one of those who would be to try and make it to be a 15-second song that everyone's singing? But just in general, what's your take on that?
I can't lie. I say big up to Tyler here. Like, my chat is that, like, I'm not like a person that's going to listen to her music much, but I will say that she found a breakthrough. Like, she found a way. I think that's the most important thing, is that, like, whether for her she's making art, or like, well, I guess she is making art because it's music, but like, whether she's actually making music for the sake of this is me expressing myself, or she's making music because she wants to put out music and just, like, you know, just keep on crunching those numbers and getting bigger, I still feel like she's doing a great job at what she's doing. Yeah. And so I say shout out to that for you know, like, she really is just doing well, and she's representing as well. I can't lie. Like, my chat is like, I know people will be like gatekeeping South Africa, but at the end of the day, she's representing Oaks. Like, you know, you can't put that past her. The whole like 15-minute like TikTok trending type sound. I feel like those are also important in a sense, because I don't think that everyone's music should be like this really personal, really deep, whatever. Because some people just want to listen to music to have fun. Some people want to just enjoy, have a good time, you know? So I feel like every part of the industry, whether it's just club music, TikTok music, whether it's deep stuff, conscious, like all of it matters. All of it has its space. And so I fully back it, you know? I personally, I'm not an artist that would go that direction, but I still back it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, with the industry, with where it's at now, and I think it growing in some capacity, it getting a lot of global attention, Ama Piano being the export at the moment.
Yeah.
How do you feel that affects everyone else? How do you fit into that equation? And how do you look at it when you say, as a South African trying to make music, which is essentially going to be global one day, how do you then say, this is who I am, and how do you then compete with everything else that's going around you?
So I actually had a conversation with one of my homies about this. I truly feel like when people say bring South Africa to the world, they're saying like, you know, make your sound South African. But yeah, like for me, I question, I'm like, what is South African? Is it like, oh, the typical South African sound, or is it you as a South African artist making music? That's the question that I always ask myself. And I think recently I've come to accept that no, me as a South African making music is South African music.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So if it doesn't sound South African, quote unquote, it's still South African. It's a South African artist. You know what I mean? So like, yeah, this whole, like the whole movement of like South Africa blowing up, Amapiano's going places, so on and so forth. I do feel like there's been a bit of a, like a limitation on guys like hip hop, you know, people in the R&B space as well have been kind of shut out by that a little bit. But I think it's just because of that whole conception of South African music has to sound this way. South African music has to do this and this and this. It doesn't.
Yeah.
No music has to do anything. An artist from South Africa makes South African music. That's just how it is. That, you know, like, I know that there's a sound generally that comes from a place, but that doesn't mean that now if you make something that doesn't sound like that place, it's not from there. You know what I mean?
Mm.
That's my main chat.
I mean, I think that holds true, and especially at the moment where we are in a weird space where Afro house, Amapiano, club music is being exported.
Yeah.
And a lot of the other music doesn't necessarily have the same support, same industry that's built around it. And it's not necessarily bought into by most South Africans, is where globally, regardless of what genre you play, there will be a place where you can play.
Yeah.
And for you sitting here watching all this happen, what's the vision? What's the goal in 5 years?
I think for me, my main vision is don't focus too much on being local. Because actually that's also my thing, is that I've noticed because of that whole Amapiano craze and the, you know, like Afrobeats and Amapiano have been the biggest genres in South Africa specifically. And that, like, being like, just being an artist that does something else like hip hop or doing R&B or doing indie soul, you know, even rock, like, you know, focusing too much on local music kind of limits you. In fact, even if it's Amapiano and stuff, focusing too much on being local limits you.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, I want to kind of make the example of Aries, for instance. Like, he's
Fish.
For me, he's like on the same level for me. He's on the same level, if not opinion, if not better than Nasty C, right? But I still feel like because Aries is focused too much on being local, he's not really got anywhere. And I mean, that's not to say that all of that is like all of the focusing on being local has limited him. Because I mean, there's also the chat about, you know, the label that he used to be signed to.
Yeah.
But you know, like he's been too focused on being local, and that's been limiting him a lot. And then you get people like Nasty C, you get people like Blackie now. He's been doing the most with a lot of Dreamville rappers now. Like it's you just have to go outside, bro. That's all it is, really. So yeah, that's my main goal as well. My main goal is just to go outside, just to put music out to as many people as I can, instead of I'm gonna make it so that South Africans eat.
Yeah.
That's kind of gatekeeping as well, in a sense, because it's like, now we're gonna eat, but then everyone else is gonna miss out on my stuff, you know.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
Do you feel limited by the culture and environment that surrounded making music? Going out, drinking, smoking, the celebrity influencer-esque energy that's kind of surrounded the music space, and I think a lot of the creator space within South Africa.
Personally, I don't feel limited, but I feel like it does limit a lot of artists, because it's almost like that's the type of music that you need to make then if you're going to be in those spaces, or even if you don't. Even if you're not in those spaces and you want to make that type of music, it's like, oh, now I have to be in those spaces. I don't think that that is necessary, though, for me. And that's why it's never limited me, because I've decided, nah, let me make some ragers. Let me make some trap beats. Let me make some, you know, like low-key chill drill beats type of thing, and I don't actually have to really be in those spaces. It's just, let me just make something and let me see where it goes. I think the only thing that becomes a limitation is the people that are going to listen to it, you know? Like, if I was a person that made Amapiano, but all I do is chill at home, like, I'm not even trying to, like, get it heard in the clubs. Yeah. I don't know these people. I don't know DJ. I don't know whatever. That's going to be the limitation, is that no one's going to hear it. But I guess that's the limitation with everything, you know?
Yeah. And at the moment, who would you say are your biggest influences or have influenced you in your music journey so far?
It always changes, eh? Like, beginning of the year, it was Brent Fires. Middle of the year, it was like between Daniel Caesar and Pharrell Williams. Then it was Kendrick. Now it's Kanye. Well, between Kanye and Travis Scott.
Yeah.
But I think in general, I think the one that has always stayed consistently my biggest influences, actually, because I have more than one, I think I would have to give that to both Kendrick Lamar and Hiatus Kaiyote. They've just had this like very different sounding music all the time. So yeah, those two specifically.
And I mean, Kendrick coming to South Africa is going to be an interesting one.
Yo, I wish I could go.
and I think it's interesting that you speak of people who make very musically sounding music.
Yeah.
Because I think that also speaks to the music that you create, and it makes sense why they'd be your influence.
Yeah.
And before we close, what would you say is currently in the works for you? What should we be looking out for? And where will you be in 2024 where people can reach you, see your music, and see you play?
I'm not going to say too much about the works, except look out for an album.
Okay.
Yeah, that'll be sometime soon. I'm going to just say 2024, but it's going to be very soon. On top of that, I'm also trying to get work done on some features. I'm doing some beats for some people, because also I am a producer at the end of the day. Yeah. So yeah, like I'm very happy to just be doing beats for people as well. 2024, I think my biggest goal is really to just gain traction, to start being recognized not only just by people, but start being recognized by labels, start being recognized by even radio networks and things, like trying to get my stuff on radio. Yeah, I feel like 2024, like I don't really have like clear-cut goals, but I have a sort of vision of growth at the end of the day, yeah.
And I mean, we're here for it. I want to say thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
And I think it's beautiful to hear someone who's working to be in the industry, who's working to make music, who's working to spread their message, their sound. And as always, express yourself, be yourself, follow what you want to do.
Of course.
Because that's how we move. That's how the youth is heard. That's how messages are shared. And as always, this is Misunderstood.